If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." So when you are pressed, even threatened on all sides, the response is not fear or anger turning in on oneself, but rather love, sacrificial love.
This is Wings of the Morning, a program designed to help you soar above the clouds of another day on the wings of faith and prayer. Wings of the Morning is brought to you every Sunday at this time on WDEL under the direction of the Reverend Thomas Lehman, president of Sunday Breakfast Mission, Wilmington, Delaware. And now, here to share the good news of the gospel, Reverend Tom Lehman.
Thank you, Gerald, and my friend. My wife and I love college basketball, particularly University of Kansas Jayhawk basketball. Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU. Forgive me, all you fans of other schools. I married into a true fan base. But back to my point. In the Big 12, the league KU is in, there are a lot of great teams, and games can be very close. Scary, in fact. Particularly in the last minutes, you can be on the edge of your seats watching and waiting, not just to see what the players will do, but what the coach will do. Timeouts are called. Players all huddle. Plays are drawn up. But whether the team is behind or ahead by a point or 10, most likely the coach is impressing upon his players the few things they need to remember, they need to do. He doesn't go over the whole season. He doesn't run down the various quirks of this player or that. He doesn't bother about balancing the skills of certain individuals with others. There is one goal and one only: win the game. So he gives them just a few things: the play, the defense, and the basics. Hustle. Guard closely. Don't foul. It's not complicated, but it is critical. Throughout the New Testament, beginning with Jesus himself, we have numerous last admonitions. We're looking at one today from the Apostle Peter. But right now, building 429 reminds me and you that the end is near. They sing, "Where I Belong."
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers that aren't here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I
I belong.
first letter from Peter to the believers in churches in Northern Asia Minor, that is, Turkey today, after he goes through their salvation, holiness, relation to God and each other, he brings up their very real and dire situation of suffering. We here in America truly do not understand the nature of suffering, although from time to time, individuals amongst us may experience persecution. But in the midst of such suffering, it is not unexpected that Peter would remind them that in view of eternity, the end is near. Listen to this. He says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." The end of all things is near. This statement, and many like it, you can see them in Romans and Hebrews and James, as well as the letter from John, was part of the fabric of the early church. The end of all things is near. And while some today might dismiss these sayings as misplaced, misunderstood, the obvious view of eternity and the imminence of Christ's return for them and every generation is rather the truth. And when the temptation is to doubt because all around is suffering and death, the hope of the end of all things is the buzzer we all desire. So Peter, the coach, looks at the time, calls his team together, reminds them for who they are playing, their salvation, their holiness, their relationship to each other and to God. And he calls the play with the final reminder of the basics. He gives them four things. First, be clear-minded, self-controlled, in order to pray. Pray. When Jesus was hours from the cross, he prayed. He tried to get Peter, the same Peter that's writing this with James and John, to pray. But what did they do? They slept. In the midst of this suffering and in the midst of our own chaos and confusion, we should stop, clear our head, exercise discipline, and break through the morass of this world to reach the one who is in control, God through Jesus Christ, and pray. The end is not the time for chaos. It is the time to pray for God control. Secondly, he says, love, and love deeply. Peter remembers when he refused the act of love of his Lord. It wasn't about feet washing, remember that? But loving. Jesus said to him and all the disciples at that time, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." So when you are pressed, even threatened on all sides, the response is not fear or anger or turning in on oneself, but rather love, sacrificial love, even when other brothers and sisters in the Lord hurt you. Because, as he said, love covers a multitude of sins. So thirdly, he says, show hospitality. Now, to our ears, this seems like a pretty frivolous instruction, and we could not be more wrong. In that time, hospitality opening your home to other believers like they were family could mean life or death for them. The atmosphere in society at that time was toxic. The inns that people had available were very dangerous. So this practical expression of love was not optional, but showing hospitality was necessary to the community of saints. Can you think how this might apply today? Maybe it's not as dangerous, at least in our country, but do you welcome folks into your church? Do you show those who are new to you that God loves them too? So fourthly, Peter coaches these last day players in their two-minute drill. Exercise that which God has given you, those gifts. You were born again. Some of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. All of us who have been born again have the Spirit of Christ living within, and we have been given gifts from the Holy Spirit of God. Peter speaks here of preaching, prophesying, and then of serving. Paul talked of others like teaching, evangelism, pastoring, healing, discernment, language capability. In these times, waiting for the imminent return of Christ, we must spend every moment, every breath, using the gifts of God that He's given to us to advance His glory. Christian, are you sitting on the bench because you are harboring disobedience? Repent. Repent right now and follow Christ into the thick of battle with these four things. You can do it right now by praying with me. Pray, dear Jesus, the end is nearer now than ever. I want to not only be ready, but in the middle of the action. Please change me. Make me ready. Cleanse me from all that is not pleasing to you. And help me to be that two-minute drill player. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, please call or write me. You can call me at 877-306-HOME. I want to send you something to help you in your life with Christ, and may God richly bless you.
You've been listening to Wings of the Morning on 1150 AM and 101.7 FM WDEL. You're invited to share in this ministry by addressing your communications to Sunday Breakfast Mission, Post Office Box 352, Wilmington, Delaware, 19899. That's Sunday Breakfast Mission, Post Office Box 352, Wilmington, Delaware, 19899. And listen again next week at this same time for another broadcast of Wings of the Morning.